are listening to Mystery Media Group.
Yay!
We just spent last week at Phenomicon in Vernal, Utah.
Yes, we did.
We had a great time.
It was one of the best weekends I've had in a really long time. That's how cool it was, because I've had some pretty awesome weekends.
When you're surrounded by fellow weirdos, it's just different, like family. Just like family.
It is.
Except you like them better.
Everybody's there to have a good time. We want to talk about the same stuff. Michael was actually very outgoing, and he introduced himself to people, which is, I've never seen him do, I don't think.
Don't do it very often. I was excited to see some of those people, though.
Me too. Right in the heart of Skinwalker Ranch and Dinosaur Country. I mean, the Uinta Basin is a hot spot for UFO activity. And I mean, we've talked about this several times about how we went there in the summers, and our uncle, who was a sheriff, had so many cool stories. And I think that a lot of those stories are kind of what got me interested in the paranormal, especially UFOs, because in the 50s, 60s, I mean, he was taking UFO reports every week or more.
That is a neat area to go to. There's so many things to see and so many things to do. And it's kind of a little town. I was surprised they had such a big convention in this little town.
Yeah, bigger than I remember it being, but still really small. There's a lot to do. There's quite a few things that would attract people there, I think.
I don't know how to get started on this. There were so many things to see and do, but I got to tell you, my favorite part, or the part that got me the most excited, is when we went to Dr. Meldrum's table.
Oh, yeah.
And we looked on the table and we saw a hat on the table that had his pins on it. It was one of our hats that we gave him last year.
Yep.
And he's been using it. It looks like he's been wearing it too, because it's kind of dirty.
He has.
But he uses it to put his Bigfoot. He has Bigfoot pins, and he was looking for a way to display those. So he put them on our hat and stuck it on his table. I was so excited to see that.
Me too. When it comes to a Bigfoot expert, nobody can top Jeff Meldrum. So
no.
When we gave him our hat, I figured he'll just throw it on the shelf and he'll never see it again. So I was really excited to see that he was using it. And I mean, that was good advertisement for us.
Yeah.
Hundreds and hundreds of people want to go see Jeff Meldrum's table. And he's a coolest dude out there.
He is. And every single person that he talked to, he treated them like they were best friends. And yeah, he spent all the time that they wanted with him. Made everybody feel like they were best friends. He's pretty awesome. He's excited to talk about the same subject over and over and over again, and it doesn't dull with him. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. And out of all of the presentations that we went to and saw, I still think his was one of my top favorite. There were three that I loved, like I couldn't get enough of, and I was wishing they didn't have to stop, but his was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people, if you don't believe in Bigfoot, after you hear Jeff Meldrum speak, you will believe in Bigfoot. No doubt.
You'll be a believer.
Yep.
Yeah. He's not a biologist. He's a
anthropologist.
Anthropologist. And he knows anatomy and physiology and how the foot works and how bone structures work and how the tracks they found are different than the tracks that a human leaves. They are just not the same. And way back when, that guy from China, that park ranger, found the same Bigfoot track in China, and they were the same track that Meldrum found in the United States. And they met together to compare those tracks, and they were exactly the same. There's something to that. It was pretty cool.
And he can tell you exactly why it's different than a human print. And he can tell you why one cast is not Bigfoot or human. It's just a hoax. And he can tell you why one is. And he'll point out the specifics that a normal person, or even a person that probably has studied it a lot, might miss. But he can tell you exactly why and what to look for. And I find it fascinating.
You got to be pretty smart, though, to be able to follow everything he talks about, because he's a smart man.
He is.
He's a lot of big words.
Yeah, he does. He can speak so eloquently, and he doesn't mix up his words like we do. He can just talk, and he's very confident in his abilities to, you know, say, this is why I think it's fake, or this is why I think it's real. And he doesn't really care what anybody thinks. He's just who he is.
Yeah, I noticed that this week, that weekend. He doesn't care.
Nope.
This is what I think. This is based on science. And
that's how I roll. And I found it really interesting, too, that he's a firm believer that Bigfoot is a biological creature. So I've been to 3 or 4 of his presentations, and one of them was about, you know, how he kind of broke down the Patterson-Gimlin film. But this one was, you know, there's people want to know, well, how many are there? Like, is there a huge population of them? Why haven't we seen them? Blah, blah, blah. And he basically broke it down. Very scientific method that he used. In the state of Utah, there's roughly 44 Sasquatch here. There was a lot more in Idaho, a lot more in Washington and Oregon. But if a black bear can survive in a certain area, then it's highly likely that a Sasquatch can also survive there. The way he broke it down and described it all, and they're creatures that don't travel in big packs, as far as we know, very solitary, and that their population can survive on a short little group, and exactly what they would need to survive and where they could survive. And I thought it was very fascinating. And, you know, and the thing that everybody always says is, why haven't we found one? Why haven't we found a skeleton? Well, brings up a really important topic. There's roughly, I can't remember how many black bears he said there were in Utah, but how many of us, even avid hikers who are out all the time, have ever seen a black bear skeleton? I've never seen
a bear skeleton. And, you know, unless the whole skeleton was there together, most people couldn't recognize, even if you had one bone, you wouldn't know where it came from. Well, yeah. That's a deer, or that's a, unless this whole skeleton's there, you probably don't even know what it was anyways. Most people can't identify, you know, one bone from another animal. So,
and even at that, if you do come across one, how likely is it that you're going to find the entire skeleton? Never.
Not very likely.
Yeah. How often have we ever found an entire skeleton?
Not with a skull, never.
I'm always out looking for the skull, and I found one once, and I think it might just be a sheep. It's either a sheep or an antelope, but I'm not sure which.
See, we don't even know the difference between that. So,
yeah, I mean, the bones would hopefully be bigger, but after everything's been decomposed and the animals and insects have had their take of it, you know, how much of it is even going to be left? Because they were saying, like, it only takes, was it 2 weeks for a deer to completely decompose? I can't remember. And then for an elephant is 4 months. But if you also,
that's pretty quick.
Yeah. If you also look at it too, where, okay, there's only approximately 44 Sasquatches in the state of Utah. How long is their life expectancy? You're not going to have them dying all the time. Maybe one every 10 years.
And the only way we'd find a body is if it got hit by a car or somebody shot it, because they're the top predator. So nothing's hunting them except for man. And that doesn't happen very often. And if a Bigfoot, like a bear or a cat or any other sick animal, if they feel like they're dying, they're going to go hide somewhere.
Yeah.
They're going to crawl up under your porch and die. So, you know.
I was just fascinated by the whole weekend. I was like just a side observer.
Yeah.
You guys knew all the people and you guys would go talk, and I just observed it all, and quite interesting.
When one of the celebrities had walked by, oh, there's Russell Cord. And Michelle's like, which one? Are you kidding me?
I know. Really?
Well, you guys have gone to several presentations and stuff with these guys, and it was my first time. I was a first timer, and it brought up a lot of questions and insights, and it was very intriguing. And
you brought up the point too, Michelle, where you were surprised at how many doctors and PhD candidates that were there, and they were presenters, and they all very much had a strong opinion about the paranormal and the possibility of all these things existing. And I mean, these guys aren't idiots. They're people who have gone to school.
No, there wasn't any of your backwoods.
No.
Nick just up there telling them about what they saw in the sky one night. All these people were very well learned and had several degrees behind them and studied what they were talking about.
In great detail.
They had the science, and yeah, it was very fascinating.
We were talking about the Patterson-Gimlin and some of the stuff Jeff Meldrum brought up.
Yeah.
But something that really added to the Patterson-Gimlin film is what Russell Accord said about the area. He had gone there recently, and he was talking about if you put on a pair of flippers, like you're swimming, swim fins, and how hard that would be to walk around.
Yep.
And then to walk on cobblestones and in sand, and then to have a mask on and turn your head and be able to walk that well. I was wearing a horse head for that costume party, and I couldn't see a thing. I was on a flat ground being led, and I still ran into things. So that added a lot of veracity to that film, that whoever it was, if they were faking it, how did they do it so well?
Yeah, and to add a costume on top of that, too, a very hairy, big costume on top of that.
A very well done one, and walking very well, and seeing, and turn the head and still be able to walk without falling.
And they would have had some sort of arm extension on their costume, you know, because those arms are long. I don't know. It's crazy. I did develop a little bit of a crush on Russell Accord while we were there.
That was very funny. I did think it was interesting, though, going with Russell Accord. I know that he studied that out a lot because our first night there, Wednesday night, they had a film fest, and the first movie they showed was one that he did. It was a little 30-minute film that's still in the process of being finessed, but it showed the backstory and everything of the Patterson-Gimlin experience. And that fascinated me so much. I mean, it seemed like a Mickelson outing.
Yeah.
The Cowboys went through after all of that.
Exactly what our outings are.
Yeah.
Like.
Yep.
But I hope
except the Bigfoot.
I hope he finishes that film, because it was so neat to have the backstory, because I think everyone in America knows what the Patterson-Gimlin film is and has seen that little, you know, it's not even a full minute of clip. Everyone knows that, but how many people know the backstory? Why were they there? What happened to them? How'd they get out and all this and sort
there,
of stuff?
There it's is more footage than what we actually see on that little clip. That
yeah. Little so if, when he releases that, if people can get hold of it, I found that utterly fascinating, because when we go through something like that on almost any adventure we go on.
And we're always like, why is it always us? And then come to find out that it's everybody. That's cool.
It is. It is. But it's fun to know the backstories about stuff. And I think that's what I like about all of our adventures, because we go in blind half the time. We have an experience. And then that leads us to, okay, what went on? What caused this? What's the backstory?
Mm-hmm.
And I love learning the backstories of stuff. So that was really fun for me to learn.
Speaking of, Tyler had he might consider a Bigfoot sighting this weekend.
Oh, really? Where was he?
He doesn't believe in any of this stuff. So he was driving home from Bear Lake Sunday night, and it was dusk. It was not totally dark, but pretty close. And he said he was driving. It was approximately the same area where the nunnery is. And he was driving, and he remembers seeing something on two legs move from behind a tree and walk to, it was to the right. So it was on the right hand side of the road, but it was a very thickly brushed area. He's like, he didn't see the body, but he saw something very large on two legs that walked like a human. And the legs were really dark. He says he remembers seeing how huge the feet were, but that's all he saw. And it was like just a quick glimpse. And he saw it take, like, I think he said 3 steps maybe. And then it was gone. He couldn't see it behind the brush. Plus he was driving, you know, so it wasn't just a few seconds. But he asked Lily, who was sitting in the passenger seat, he's like, did you see that? And she's like, no, what? I think she was looking at her phone. And he told her what he saw. And she's like, well, turn around. And he's like, I can't. And, you know, there was a line of cars behind him. He's like, I have no idea. No idea what that would have been, but whatever it was very large, and it was walking like a human.
Lucky kid.
I know. I'm like, what the crap? You don't even believe in this stuff. Why can't I see something like that? And maybe I have. It's just that my eyes suck. So I don't know. That's what I'm looking at.
And our memory sucks. We don't remember it if we did this.
I know. Jeez. But yes, I loved Jeff Meldrum's presentation again. Russell Accord gave a really good presentation. Plus, he's a lot of fun, and he's very interactive in his presentation. So that was fun.
He was very interactive. He stole your Coke bottle off the table to use for a prop.
He did. And then I had him sign it afterwards, and I haven't drunk out of it. There's like maybe a third left or something. It's sitting on my shelf. I'm not drinking it again.
It's sacred now.
Very sacred.
He used it as his bear spray story.
Bear spray story. If you've never heard Russell Acord's bear spray story, it's quite entertaining.
I like the question he posed in his presentation, though, because he was like, who are 100% believe that it's true, you know? And then he was like, who is open to the possibility?
Right.
It was very interesting. And he was talking about how to go out and what's the word I'm looking for?
Do your own field research.
Yes, research. How to do the research out there.
Yeah.
Sorry, I haven't slept much today. It was a long night at work.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like what you should take with you and what works and try new things and what he's found didn't work and things like that. So I thought that was kind of fun. You know, if you're going to go out, this is what you should know and this is what you shouldn't do.
And he always pointed out that, you know, there's not one single piece of evidence out there to clearly state that, yes, this is true. He's like, you have to gather stuff. You can't just rely on one piece. You have to have multiple sources and documented and data and information.
Because if you have just the photo, well, that's good evidence, but is it proof? But if you have the photo, you have the cast of the footprint, you've got a hair sample, the experience, all that together is pretty compelling. Which brings me to Dr. Mayer and how she never once said in her talk, yeah, Bigfoot is real, but the possibility of it existing, absolutely. She was the first female correspondent for National Geographic, and she's been on expeditions and she's discovered hundreds of new species. So is the possibility that a new species could be discovered? For sure. That's absolutely possible. She gave one example where she went to Madagascar to research one of the lemurs there. It was a lemur that had never been photographed, at least to anybody's knowledge. And they knew very little about it. They knew it existed, but that's about it.
Yeah, they just had drawings.
Yeah. So she set out on an expedition to learn more and study this lemur. And when they arrived in Madagascar, they knew of 30 species of lemurs, if I want to say. But by the time she left, they had discovered another 70. So there was 100 total lemurs that they had discovered in Madagascar alone, 70 of them, which they didn't know existed. And they were able to find the lemur that they had been looking for. They were able to collect blood and hair samples and tissue samples, whatever it is that they do to study it and take photos and research its behavior and document that and everything. So I found her talk to also be extremely fascinating. She was right there on my top three. Not only because of all of her knowledge and expertise, but because how many women get that opportunity and that chance? Not many.
I was just amazed by everything she's done. I thought it was funny that her mother wouldn't let her join the Girl Scouts because it was too dangerous.
Yeah.
And so her first camp trip was in Madagascar, wasn't it?
Something like that. She just wasn't afraid to go out and, you know, what needed to be done to document these species. And I bought her book and I've been reading it. And she talks about how when she was little, she just loved animals and birds and she couldn't get enough of being outside. And she literally would conduct her own field experiments and stuff while she was a little kid, not even really knowing that's what she was doing. But she would find a turtle on their doorstep or whatever and bring it in and hide it from her mom so her mom didn't know. She had this little zoo in her house. And I guess she had collected a bunch of bugs and kept them under her bed. And one day when her mom was cleaning out under her bed, she discovered them and about had a conniption because of all the live bugs that she had in her room. She just always had this fascination for animals and insects and discovery. And she's one of my idols. I think the work that she does is amazing. I think the scientific methods that she puts behind trying to research Bigfoot on the show. And I mean, it's amazing what she can do with her expertise and how credible she is.
I thought she was amazing. Her mom wouldn't let her join the Girl Scouts because it was too dangerous. She was a cheerleader for the Miami Dolphins, and she decides to go look for this lemur. And her first camping trip is at least a month long. She lived in a canoe my understanding is she got all sorts of bug bites and blood.
She almost died. Yeah.
She almost died from bug bites and infection and stuff.
Blood poisoning or something.
Blood poisoning, like yeah. And she's very girly. And what was the question that was asked? How do you prepare for your trips? And she said something about her wardrobe or what she's going to wear, something like that.
She said, well, first of all, I have to arrange carpool because she's got 6 kids.
Oh, that's right.
And that in itself is an expedition alone. She does a lot of research before she goes. So she knows all the insects, all the animals, the terrain, everything about the place that she's going to. And then she was like, and then I have to decide what I'm going to wear.
Yeah. And I was thinking it's probably a good thing she's such a tiny person because you can't carry a month's worth of food. So I bet she was living off the land and she probably doesn't require much. Right. I would starve to death.
I loved the clip that she showed where the gorilla charged her and she didn't freak out.
Grayback? Gorilla. Silverback. Charged her. She didn't flinch.
Nope. She had studied them so well that she knew exactly what was happening, how they react, what she needed to do. And she does that with each species that she encounters. And to be able to learn all that and be able to remember everything, I just find fascinating. And in the heat of the moment, I enjoyed her presentation a lot.
Yes, she did a great job.
My third and final favorite was Travis Taylor. He is the lead scientist for the Skinwalker Ranch team that's on the History Channel. I mean, that guy is so smart. He has, I think he's got his PhD in
astronomy.
Well, he has a master's in astronomy, a master's in physics, then his PhD in aerospace engineering, I think.
Electrical engineering. Something like that, yeah.
I'm sure I could look him up and give you the exact details, but it doesn't really matter. But he knows his stuff. And for him to say, yes, UFOs exist. No, they're not our government. I know what exists in the government. Yes, there's definitely something going on at Skinwalker Ranch, and we're on the verge of discovering what that is. I just think it's amazing. And to hear him talk about how Skinwalker Ranch has become this huge laboratory for UFO activity and all the things that they've discovered and all the things that they have yet to discover. I mean, I could have listened to him all day long. I really liked how he's able to describe, for example, how the UFOs are able to manipulate the atmosphere around them so that they basically make the atmosphere go around them. They're not actually going through it. And he described how that
what was that possible. Called?
Let me see if I have it in my notes.
Do you remember, Michelle? He had a word for it that was interesting because Einstein talked about it, how they could bend the light to go around it so that you were invisible, cloaking.
Yeah.
And he had a term for it. And he witnessed a UFO go into the ocean and pop back out. And so, you know, that would destroy anything else. But
if you can bend your going, there's no way any of our aircraft could hit that water that fast and not be shattered to pieces, let alone come out the other side without making a splash. Yeah, I put cloaking and how the light bends around the object rather than go through it or around it.
The guy used all sorts of big words and he explained electrical theory and engineering and how this and that. And he didn't even have a note card.
No, he just...
I couldn't pronounce some of those words if I was looking at the word and heard it 10 times first.
The other thing, too, that I thought was fascinating is he described how the first day that he went out on the ranch and they were measuring these very large microwave readings that were very abnormal. And he's like, could these high microwave readings be what is helping the cloaking work on these objects? But he described how, you know, if you have a wire that's rubber on the outside and copper on the inside, and you push that copper wire through the middle of that rubber wire and it came out on top, so it basically surrounds the rubber, that's what cloaking is. You're not changing how the physical object is itself. Yeah, basically like the topography of the object didn't change. But the copper is now used on the outside and is used as a conductor rather than the insulator. That is a very strong possibility as to how these UAPs are able to fly around and do such weird maneuvers and things that they do. So can we as a society someday be able to also engineer these type of objects? And his answer was yes, absolutely can do that. And they may, you know, Skinwalker Ranch might be the way that they learn how to do all this. He's like, you know, if they can do it to water and they can do it to air, can they do it to something that has mass like Skinwalker Ridge, which people have claimed to see UFOs fly in and out of? Can they also do that with rock or with dirt or whatever? He also mentioned that the Uinta Basin has the highest gallbladder disease of anybody in the world. You know what?
Yeah, highest concentration. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the reasoning behind that? We don't know. Oh, he was talking about some physics papers that state things like what they call warp bubbles that can actually push matter away from itself. And that's how you're able to keep the topography of an object the same, but turn it into an insulator or a conductor rather than whatever it was to begin with. I'm probably not making any sense. And then he also talked about the metal that they found in the mesa when they were drilling through it and how he believed it wasn't part of the mesa. It had been placed there or, you know, had been there and covered up because the metal that they found was like, I don't even know how to describe this. Maybe you can describe it better than I can, but the material concentration and how it was layered together would be the perfect concentration of different metals to be able to traverse through these wormholes like they think it should. So was it just a fluke that, you know, a farmer's tractor had this type of metal to begin with? Or has there always been something there that knew the answers to all these questions we've been trying to find, and they discovered that metal in this last season? But I like
that was very interesting part.
Yeah. And I like how he always states, you know, it's probably a very logical reason, nothing supernatural, but there's a chance that it is, you know, something different. He doesn't say, yes, this exists and I believe in aliens and yada, yada, but is a possibility there? Absolutely. And can we recreate it? Yes. Oh, and he also talked about how the likelihood of an alien invasion is very high and that we need to take this stuff seriously. And he was able to go to the Pentagon and show them his findings, and they actually took him seriously, whereas before, nobody would. So the research that they're doing at Skinwalker Ranch is it's good stuff.
You know, one of the things about that part that I found interesting was that the people that he was coming in contact with talking about this were saying, oh, the aliens are such an advanced civilization that they're not going to be a threat or violent. And he's like, bullcrap.
How do we know that?
More likely to be violent than they are.
Otherwise, why would they be here? What's their point?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I thought that was interesting because, oh, they're much more advanced. They'll be, just because you're advanced doesn't mean you're not threatening.
We would hope as an advanced civilization that that's how we would be. But obviously, I mean, with the way us earthlings have advanced, that part of us really hasn't changed a whole lot. The only thing that's changed is our technology, but we're still as stupid as we were when we first started walking on the planet. I mean, we see this History Channel show that's very entertaining and fun to watch, and it's a huge mystery, and we love all this stuff about it. But the fact that they're actually able to do something with it, and that government officials and, you know, the military is taking it seriously, is cool. Really cool.
Yeah.
Ever since I knew about Skinwalker Ranch, I've been totally fascinated by it, and I probably always will be, and I hope someday to step foot on it. We got close, huh, Mike?
We did. We stand right outside the gate and I hear this funny sound and I didn't know what it was. Then I heard it again and the cameras were moving towards us.
And then we were talking to the camera. I don't know if they were talking to us or what.
It kind of sounded like they were talking to us. And you're like, what's up? And then he said something back, but who knows?
Like he said, what's up? And I'm like, what's up?
Who's up?
And, you know, Travis was very serious when he talked about stay off the property. This is a highly classified area. We've got very expensive equipment. Don't come onto my home and trespass on my home. And I agree with that 100%. But there are so many people that are fascinated by it. And Thomas Winterton was like, look, you can come to the gate. You can take a photo. As long as you stop where the stop sign is, you're good. Because people are curious. They want to know what it looks like and they want to know where it's at. And we're on the cusp of this advanced science and we want to be a part of it. And so, yeah, go take a picture at the front gate, but don't go any further. So that's what we did.
I can relate to that. I don't want anybody on my property either.
Nope. I'd be pretty pissed if people got onto my property without my permission. So those are my top three presenters, but they were all good.
They were all good. Every last one of them.
I loved Stacy Brown's when he showed the footage that his dad took on the thermal. And he took a bunch of really well-known Bigfoot clips and he kind of deciphered them and said, this is why I think it's real or this is why I think it's fake. And I found that very fascinating too, to be able to see his perspective on things and think of things that I never would have thought of to look for and things to look at to analyze when you're watching things like that, because you don't want to believe in everything. But you also don't want to believe in nothing. You want to have an open mind. So the way he kind of spoke about all those different clips was pretty fascinating to me. And he's someone that has a lot of expertise and knowledge. He knows what he's looking at. He's seen a Bigfoot before. So
he's seen it twice.
Yeah. To listen to him talk about it. And you know, he was able to show a recreation of his dad's thermal.
It was on Finding Bigfoot. They used Bobo as the experiment. And Bobo's a big dude. This Bigfoot they captured dwarfs Bobo. And I've met his dad a few times. He's ex-military. And his dad is not scared of anything. He's not a very big man, but he is not scared of anything. That video footage, he was scared. You could tell in his voice. I've never seen him flustered before. And Stacy Jr. was, he didn't even know what was going on. Time, that was kind of funny. What's going on, Dad? Shut up and get back to the truck.
Stacy is one of those people that just gets along with everybody. You could have $1 million and fly a huge jet and he'd love you, or you could be a homeless person on the street and he'd think of you the same. There's no difference to him. You're just a cool human being and he likes to hang out with you. And that's what I really found fascinating about Stacy. I mean, he hung out with us. Not everybody would.
We decided to go out above Skinwalker Ranch near this NASA observatory point. It's a few miles away from Skinwalker Ranch, but you can see the skies over it. And so we went out there later one night and Stacy rode with us. And he's the kind of guy, this is the kind of guy he is. Your skid plate started to fall off your car.
Another Mickelson adventure.
Another Mickelson adventure. Apparently the mechanic that worked on your car didn't put the bolts in all the way.
Nope.
And I'm driving down the road, the dirt trail. I'm like, this doesn't sound right. And so we got out of the car. Stacy was under the car pulling that thing off before I could get out from behind the steering wheel. He crawled right under that car and took it off. You know, no questions asked. That's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah. And then he apologized for getting my seat all dirty. And I'm like,
yeah.
you're covered in dirt from head to toe because you crawled under my car trying to fix it.
Yeah.
It's okay. But I am still terrified of that grasshopper that he left in my car. I still haven't found it. So he had a grasshopper that got stuck in his hair. And when we're driving home, he felt it and like flung it off his hair. And then it landed in the car somewhere. And then he got out of the car, went to his hotel, and we were driving to our hotel. And it crawled on me, scared the crap out of me. So I flipped it off my knee, but it was dark. I couldn't really see where it went. Yeah,
you screamed and scared the crap out of me because I was driving.
It scared me. I still haven't found it.
It's a grasshopper.
Yeah, but it was big. And
what would happen if we saw a Bigfoot then?
I think I'd be less scared of a Bigfoot than a grasshopper.
The grasshopper?
I hate grasshoppers. I hate them. When we were growing up, that stupid long driveway that we had to walk out to the mailbox and there were grasshoppers that would hop all over. They would hop down your shirt and in your hair and they were humongous. They had wings. I mean, I hate those things. And I still haven't found
that.
And I vacuumed out my car. So I'm hoping it got out somehow when we opened the car, but
It's coming for you.
And the whole way home, driving home, 4 hour long drive. And I'm thinking the whole time, I hope that grasshopper doesn't jump on me and I crash my car.
Right in the middle of Salt Lake traffic.
And I wanted to text him and say, dude, before you leave, please come get this grasshopper out of my car.
Damn grasshopper out of my car.
No, but he's a good guy and very down to earth. And I really enjoyed hanging out with him and learning more from him. That was another highlight of our trip. We had fun at the costume party.
Yes.
I dressed up as an alien. Michael was a horse. And Michelle was the farmer. We took some cool photos, ate some good food, danced a little bit. And then we went on our own little adventure with our costumes and fueled up at Maverick. And they sponsored us in their story. We drove out to Dinosaur National Park.
Yep, Dinosaur National Monument.
Found some...
Full moon.
It was the full harvest moon. And it was gorgeous. It was...
Oh, like spectacular.
Bright gold in the sky. It was huge. It was a cloud-free night, stars in the sky.
We pulled over by the river, and yeah. You could see the geese and ducks in the water. You could hear the elk bugling. It was beautiful.
I love hearing the elk bugle in the fall. That's one of my favorite things. And then we found petroglyphs. That was a fun night.
It was.
Nothing spooky wasn't as windy. Happened, but... Still fun.
Yeah, we didn't see any alien or spaceships. I was very disappointed.
Me too. I really wanted to see one when we were out of the NASA site.
Yeah, we're with Stacy Brown. We need to see a Sasquatch or a UFO, but we didn't see the one. We got out of that car, and within, 10 minutes, he was probably a mile away.
Yeah, exploring.
He was having a great time.
Took off with your flashlight and your hoodie.
I'm glad he had a good time though.
Yeah. Michael made friends. It's very rare for him.
That was. I don't know. They were a couple that were out there, just like-minded kids. Yeah. We had a great time.
They were really cool.
He had his metal detector out. And
yeah. So next year when we go, you need to bring your metal detector and your thermal. I can't believe you didn't bring either of those.
Well, I didn't think we'd be going out and Sam's glancing, but...
Well, you never know. You got to just keep them in your little
case
at all times.
Well, I use them at work, too, and I forget to switch them back and forth.
You use your metal detector at work?
No. Well, sometimes, but my thermal imager I use quite often. Sometimes I have to use that for finding stuff I've either dropped or pipes in the ground.
I also really enjoyed Eric Bard. He's a funny guy. I also enjoyed that movie...
Beauty Revealed.
Yeah, Beauty Revealed.
They did a really good job putting that together. I really liked that. And they said that part two is the really good one. So we need to stay tuned for that one. I can't wait to see that one.
We got to go to Adam Davies. And the thing I like about Adam Davies was, I don't know what he does for a living, but I think he makes fairly decent money. Uh-huh. But he lives at kind of, I got gathered at a not poverty level, but he lives really below his means. Kind of looks homeless, he said, but he saves his money to fund his own expeditions to go all over the world looking for the Orang Pendek and lake monsters. And I don't even know all the places he's been, Sumatra, but he takes a majority of his money to go do what he wants to do, make memories instead of just living in a fancy house with fancy clothes. He goes out and he does it.
That's how you live life, man.
Michelle and I have talked about that before. And that's kind of what we do. We don't live in a fancy house, but we go do a bunch of fun stuff, make some memories.
Same here. I'd much rather make memories and have fun than have this big fancy house and a big fancy car that I have to work hard to just maintain. Let's go explore. And I mean, we have traveled so much in this last year alone. It's remarkable. And I've had such an amazing year. But if I had a big old fancy car and house, we wouldn't be able to do all that.
No, we'd have to work all the time to pay for it.
I do, however, want a nice new RV, but I would totally live in it. I have no problem with that. In fact, my dream someday is just to road trip all over the place in that RV and not have a home anywhere.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Sounds good to me. And the other one we got to go to was Terry Carter and Kent Smith. They're treasure hunters. And if you're into the treasure hunting world, they talked about Kari Chenab and the Uintas and the gold. And for me, that was awesome because I'm really into that kind of stuff, the stories. And I do a lot of research for that. I'm the paranormal treasure hunter. And we still haven't discussed why I just chose that. But
I think we did someday. In one episode, but remind people why you're the paranormal treasure hunter.
Well, we never did the episode of the cave.
True. We need to still record that one.
we were up in the desert near our house, and in the newspaper, in many places, they talked about a stagecoach robbery. And it, we know where it took place, and we know how much gold was stolen, and so much is known about it. But we were up there in that area, and I wasn't really at the time looking for it, but it's always on the back of my mind. But it, this particular day, I wasn't thinking about it because I thought that this event happened farther south from us. But we were in the cave, and Melissa starts asking some questions, and words kept popping up on your spirit box. And it got to the point where we're talking about the sheriff, and he was a bank robber, and gold was stolen, and something happened to his leg. He got shot. And these are the stuff coming across the spirit box. And I said, wait, are you a bank? And the spirit box said robber before I got a chance to say it. So I took my metal detector up there, and I spent a lot of time metal detecting around that area. And I did find a really old skull can with nothing in it, but they haven't found the gold bars yet, but we're still looking.
We'll hop on those spirits are going to tell us.
Yes. But it was interesting that it said robber before I had a chance to say bank robber. Is the sheriff chasing you? Are you a bank? And then it said robber. Yeah. And we're going to explore that avenue some more, I think.
I mean, who doesn't want to find a treasure?
Yeah, especially when the dead bandit told you where it was at.
Exactly. What's cooler than that?
Man, what's cooler than that? You, Bigfoot tell me where it's at. But
yeah, or a UFO or an alien. UAP is the new word.
UAP. If you say UFO, you're a nutter. But UAP, then you're science. You're speaking science.
Speaking of that, that UAP team that talked was also very fascinating to me.
Yes.
And this stuff.
What a bunch of nerds could be fascinating, but man.
They were cool. Yeah, so if you get the chance to go to Phenomicon, highly recommend it. For the price, you get a lot of bang for your buck. They did a really good job putting it on. It was a fun weekend. Yeah. One of the best I've had in a long time.
So in recap, we got to meet Russell Accord.
Yay.
Jeff Meldrum again. Maria Mayer. Bryce.
Johnson?
Yes, from Expedition Bigfoot. What a nice guy.
Yeah.
Super nice guy. Then Thomas Winterton and Eric Bard and
Dragon.
Dragon and
Travis
Taylor. They're all from Skinwalker Ranch. Stacy Brown, he's awesome. Oh, Greg Lawson. Man, his was good too.
Really good.
His stories.
Yeah, I bought his book. I can't wait to dive into it.
Adam Davies, mm-hmm. Terry Carter, Kent Smith. I mean, there was a ton of people there. And one thing I wanted to mention for whoever's listening to this, when you go to these kind of events, you know, say hi, take your picture with them, but there's a ton of people who want to see them. And these guys get inundated every day with questions. So ask a question or tell them a short story, but keep it brief because there's 100 other people who want to speak to them too. And these guys get, I imagine they get tired of hearing the same old every time. So be respectful of them. Keep it brief. Say nice things and move on.
Agreed. So that's our Phenomicon adventure.
If you enjoy our show, please like, subscribe, and leave a 5-star review. For more information, you can visit www.destination-mystery.com.
Find your own destination.
And solve the mystery.